The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Man, please don't miss men's conference. It's going to be incredible. If I can help you in any way to get there, please let me know. We don't want any man left behind, okay? So I hope you'll join us for that. I am excited for today because today is the first series of this new year, and that excites me. Did you enjoy six-minute sermons last Sunday? Well, not incredible. God, every year I'm like, I think that was the best, you know, and then the next one I'm like, I think that was the best. And it just keeps going. So thank y'all again, all of the 6 minute speakers. That was incredible. We're starting a series today and it's called Pray First. Okay. Pray First. And I've been promising you for a couple of weeks that if you were here today, that I'd have a gift for you. Okay. I don't know if that's why you came today or not. I don't know. Probably not, but I do have a gift for you. I have a book that I want to give you. So on your way out, you can stop by our hospitality table and pick yourself up a book. And it's the same title as our series, or my series is the same title as the book, Pray First. And here's the deal, because we don't want to create any trouble in the home, okay? If you're a couple that can share a book, then get a book. If you're not a couple that can share a book, please get two books, okay? We don't need a counsel anymore. I'm teasing. Young people, teenagers, if you want a book, get it. We got enough, okay? We bought enough. So if you want a book, you can get a book. If you're watching online and you're like, gosh, I want a book, come next week and I'll give you a book, okay? We would love to put this in your hands. I'm going to be going through this book. You're going to hear a lot of it in the next couple of weeks in this series, but you won't hear all of it. And I just believe that as we're kind of going through things on through a couple of different venues, that the Lord just speaks to us in different ways. And so I pray that this is a resource that really helps you this year. Kind of chart. I believe we're charting the course of our year here in these first couple of weeks, which really goes along with what Pastor Tyler was praying and leading us in this morning. It was just incredible. There's two parts to this. Pray first, okay? Pray first. And today is mostly about first, okay? We'll talk a little bit about prayer, but we're going to talk about prayer the next couple of weeks. But today I want to talk mostly about the word first. If you were here the first Sunday of the year, this was a unique year because we had a Sunday fell on New Year's Day. It fell on January the 1st. And so we took advantage of that and we gathered and we had prayer and worship and communion. And I talked a little bit that day about this idea. I said this that day, what you do first matters. What you do first matters. After that, a couple of days later, we have a group me for our Harvest Men's group, and Dan Dixon put a C.S. Lewis quote in the group me feed. I want to share it with you because as soon as he did, it was one of those where I'm like, I said, Dan, I needed that earlier. I needed that a couple of days ago, but I get to share it with you now. C.S. Lewis said this, you can't get second things by putting them first. You can get second things only by putting first things first. You see, sometimes we try to manipulate things and do it our own way, and we think, well, I won't put the first thing first, I'll put the second thing first, and somehow it'll all work out. But it never works out when you put the wrong things in the first place, because what you do first matters. So this series is about pray first. And I just want to ask you a question. What if prayer was the first thing that we did instead of the last resort? Here's what I mean. Often I'm talking to someone and they'll be sharing with me a crisis of some sort in their life. And they'll say something like this. They'll say, Pastor, all I have left to do is pray. And what they mean is, I've tried everything else, right? I read the book, I went to the class, I talked to the friend, I went to the counselor, I did all the things, and Pastor, all I have left to do is pray, as if it's a last resort. And I just kindly want to go, maybe you should have started there. You know, we're a church that believes that prayer works. Yeah. Tyler does. We're a church that believes that prayer is powerful. We're a church that believes that God knows more than we know. We're a church that believes that God can do things that we can't. Right? So what if, that was good, by the way, what if we prayed first instead of treating it like a last resort. Here's what I love about prayer. Prayer is not a moment. So sometimes we'll come to a point in a church service and we'll call for a moment of prayer, right? But I want, prayer's not a moment. Prayer's not just something that happens on Sundays. Prayer's not just an event. This is what I love. Prayer can happen anytime and anywhere. Isn't that awesome? Like I do most of my prayers while I'm running. Okay. I just I need to move. So there's something about it that when I'm moving, I pray better or I'll walk and I'll pray. I'll run and I'll pray. I move, honestly, very rarely do I sit and pray. Okay. If I sit and pray, I fall asleep. Okay. So I move and I pray. So I've prayed in the car. I've prayed, wading out in the river, knee deep in the water. I've prayed on top of mountains. I've prayed laying in my bed at night. I've prayed in the church. I've prayed at home. You can pray anytime and anywhere. And so I started thinking, it's just the first of the year. What if we prayed first? Like, what if, I don't know if this will happen to you this week, maybe you have an important meeting at work this week. Does anyone have an important meeting coming up at work this week or in the next couple of weeks? What if, before you stepped into that work meeting, what if you prayed first? And listen, I'm talking like quick, just a pause, pray, take your breath. Lord, help me in this meeting, give me wisdom, give me favor, thank you, Lord, amen, bam. What if students, before you went to school, you prayed first? What if before you walked into Target, you prayed first, right? What if before you walked into Walmart, please pray first before you walk into Walmart? Is a scary place, y'all. I'm just telling you, I was in a Walmart right before Christmas. The alarms were going off, like people were just stealing stuff, just Lisa was laughing at me because I'm pushing the cart, following Lisa, and every time the alarm would go off, I just kind of like perk, and so I told her when we left, we checked out, I said, I think I'm going to take you home and come back. She said, why? I said, I'm going to stand at the front door, and the next person that sets the alarm off, I'm just going to tackle them, lay hands in the name of Jesus. It'd be fun for me. I don't know. Walmart's scary. What if before you went to Walmart, you prayed first? Right? What if before you text someone, you prayed first? You can't like unsend a text, right? Have you ever sent it and like, oh, what did I do? What if you prayed first? What if before you posted on social media? Oh man. What if before you commented on someone's post? What if you prayed first? In fact, I think you should pray two times before you do anything on social media. All right, it's a scary place out there. What if before we did anything? What if before we did anything in our lives, what if we prayed first? Because here's the reality. Here's the reality. See if you agree with me. I just believe, I've observed as a pastor, that most people don't pray until they need God. Right? Until it's crisis time, until they can't find their own way out in their own resources and their own strength. So just the idea of this series, what if we prayed first? How would that change our lives? How would that change our lives? You probably saw this in the news, but it's just perfect for what we're talking about. I think it was two Mondays back during Monday Night Football, the Buffalo Bills were playing the Cincinnati Bengals, and defensive back DeMar Hamlin took a hit like he'd done many times before, but this time something was different. If you've seen it, he got back to his feet and then he suddenly collapsed. And America watched as medics rushed to his aid. The crowd was stunned. The players were, there was some confusion for a moment. Like, what's happening here? And everyone watched and waited. And then something happened. When DeMar Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest, the heart of America was impacted deeply and intuitively across the nation. We turned to prayer. How many of you saw this happen? I remember watching, and I looked at Lisa because they were zooming in on players' faces and their lips were moving. I said, Lisa, that guy's praying. Like you could read his lips just enough to tell. And I was stunned because we're watching on live television as people intuitively stopped and began to pray. Commentators were stunned and no one knew what to do, but the sound that went throughout America were people calling on the name of Jesus. What I love is the divisiveness stopped that moment as we rallied to pray and we and here's the beautiful part is that Jesus did a miracle. He did a miracle. DeMar Hamlin laid on the field for 9 minutes. The medics worked on him. They eventually took him off. But here's what I love is America prayed, and I'll just say it this way. It was our first reaction. In that moment, on national television, the NFL modeled for the world what the church should be modeling for the world, which was just simply this: pray first. Stop and pray. And I began to think, could this be a marker for America for 2023? Like, could this have been a prophetic moment that gives us a glimpse to the heart of God for 2023? What if this was the year that the church returned to real prayer? Not just checking the box prayer, but real prayer. Praying first, praying before everything that we do. And here's what I love about this moment that we watched on national television is that in that moment, no one cared that prayer was happening in a taxpayer-funded stadium. Nobody cared what color DeMar Hamlin's skin was. Nobody cared what political party he voted for. Nobody cared what political party the person sitting next to them voted for. Nobody cared how much money anyone had. No one cared about what their job was, what their status was, what they believed about Santa Claus. Nobody cared. They just stopped and prayed. And I believe that there's a possibility that this is the heart of God towards the American church today, is that we would stop and we would pray first. So we're going to pause ourselves right now. We do this most weeks, but it's a perfect setup to ask you, would you pause with me and let's pray? And the purpose of this prayer is that we're going to read God's word. We're going to allow God's word to work in our hearts. But we want today, while he's talking to us collectively, he'll talk to people on the main floor. He'll talk to people in the balcony. He'll even talk to people watching online. Isn't that amazing? All right, he's talking to everybody. But what I want is I want for the Holy Spirit to speak to every single person individually that's here today. And so we're going to pause. I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer that only you can pray. And it's a prayer that just says this: hey, God, I'm listening. And so as your word's being spoke today, will you talk to me? You know what I need. And so I'm listening. How many of you will pray that prayer with me today? All right, let's pray right now. Jesus, thank you for your word that's alive and powerful, and it's for us today. Holy Spirit, we give you access to our hearts. We give you access to this space today. And our prayer is that you speak to every single one of us today. You know exactly where we are. You know exactly what we need. And so we invite you to speak to us today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Since we're talking about first, I want to invite you to go to the first book of the Bible. How many of you know what the first book of the Bible is? Say it out loud. It's not Leviticus. Go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. I want you to go to the first chapter of the Bible. That's chapter 1, okay? I want you to go to the first sentence of the first chapter, and I want to look at the first 4 words. Genesis 1, verse 1 says this: in the beginning, God. That's the first 4 words of your Bible. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. What if this was the motto for our lives? In the beginning of my day, I invite God to be a part of it. In the beginning of my marriage, I invite God to be a part of it. In the beginning of all of my relationships, God, I want you to be in the middle of it. In the beginning of school, in the beginning of work, in the beginning of all the different parts of my life, God, I need you. You see, for too many American Christians, I would venture to say that God is a part of their life, but he may not be the center of their life. And I just want to tell you today that God doesn't just want to be a part of your life. He wants to be first in your life. I want to show you something today that I believe we see all throughout the Bible, and it's this. It's just the principle of the first, because first things matter. We see it in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. The next time we see this idea of the first, it's mentioned just a couple chapters later in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4, the earth has now been created, the water and the sky and all the animals, and now Adam and Eve have been created, and Adam and Eve have kids, and we're told about Cain and Abel. Abel is a shepherd, so he's taking care of the flocks, and Cain is a farmer. And in Genesis chapter 4, they both bring an offering to the Lord. And we can read about it here, and you'll see quickly the principle of the first. Genesis 4 verse 3 says, in the course of time, which I'll just pause, that just means kind of like whenever I feel like it, in the course of time, like whenever I get around to it, okay? In the course of time, Cain, who's a farmer, brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, okay? And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn. So I'm pointing out, we're going to see the principle of the first right here. He brought some of the firstborn of his flock, and the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. We see the principle of the first because both of these guys brought an offering to the Lord, but the fashion in which they did it was very different. Abel's offering was whenever, whatever, however. It's like when I feel like it, I'm going to get some of the stuff, and it doesn't matter how I do it or what I do, I'm going to bring it to the Lord. But Cain, he was careful. He did it first. He brought the firstborn. Everything about it it's the principle of the first, because I'm going to show you all day today that first things matter. This idea of the first runs all throughout the Bible. In fact, I'll say it this way, whether you're a Christian or you're not, your life is marked by your priorities because first things matter. So what I want to do today is I want to teach you kind of three things about the principle of the first, then I want to give you four ways to apply it to your life, okay? So the first thing is this. The principle of the first starts like this. God must be first, okay? God must be first. Now, here's what I'm saying. You can put whatever you want first in your life. It's up to you, okay? But I'm telling you, as people who have decided to follow Christ, who've committed your life to Christ, who you're like, I'm trying to not live the way the world lives. I'm trying to follow the way the scriptures lead me. And here's what I'll say to you. If that's the case, God must be first. There's a lot of things that can be first, but God must be first. That's why it's actually the first of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 says, God spoke these words. Here's the first commandment. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Watch this. You shall have no other gods before me. And if you notice in your Bible or on the screen, when it says you shall have no other gods before me, it's a little g God. Okay? It says no other gods, little g. And the reason that's important, he's not talking about other religious gods. Like he's not calling out, you know, Muhammad or what. He's using little g to say, this is about the loves of your life, the priorities of your life, the passions of your life. And let me just say this. God wants you to have loves and passions and priorities. He wants you to have things that you enjoy. In fact, I'll say it this way. He created you that way. He created you to enjoy the things that you enjoy. It's not an accident. He made you to, that, when you look at something, you find beauty in it. When you're participating in something, your heart is full. He created you that way. It's not that he doesn't want you to enjoy the things of life, but he wants to make sure that he is first. And I would say this to you. The first of the year is a great time to do an honest assessment of your priorities. What I found happens is we put things in priority order, first, second, third, fourth, and then we start living life. And as we live life, they kind of shuffle around sometimes, and we get distracted, and we say, you know, this is going to be first, and this is going to be second, and then we just drift. It's little, and then we look back, and we're like, oh my goodness, how did they get out of order? And you got to run back and put things back in order. So how do you assess what's first in your life? Here's just some questions you could ask yourself. How do I spend my time? What's taken up the majority of my time? That'll help you see your priorities. What do I think about the most? Where am I spending my money? What consumes me? What do I talk about the most? Or you could just do this. Ask your spouse. They'll tell you. They'll tell you if your priorities are right. In fact, you might not even have to wait. They might just tell you at lunch today. They might just, you know, Pastor was right. You know, when Lisa does that, I just call her the Holy Spirit, okay? So I'll say it again. God doesn't mind you having other loves. He just wants to be first. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24 says this about God. He says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." A jealous God. He's jealous for you. He wants you. He wants your attention. He wants all of your focus. He wants you to make him first. He's a jealous God. God's not asking anything from you that he hasn't already given to you. I just want to point this out, that God gave us his first when he sent his son Jesus into the world. It cost him everything, and that's all he's asking back from us. So we must put God first. So how do we do that? Here's the second part of the principle of the first. We must put God first. Number two, we put God first by giving him the first of everything. Say everything. Everything. Okay? I'm being clear here because what some people just heard me say was, you must put God first by giving him the first of your money. That's not what I said. I said, we put God first by giving him the first of everything. Everything. Okay? Let me tell you something that I know it's become unpopular in our modern culture, but it's okay, because just because it's unpopular doesn't mean it's not biblical, so I'm going to teach you the Bible instead of what's popular. Is that okay with you? Okay, this side said okay. I don't know about y'all, but it's this. So listen, this side, maybe they'll hear us. I don't know. God does not want to be your Sunday God, okay? He wants to be your everything God. He wants to be your everyday God. He wants to be a part of every single part of your life. Now, most pastors teach this principle of the first, and they use the tithe to do that, okay? And we believe that, okay? In fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about it today, but I want you to know this. I think it's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than the tithe. Let me show you. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, it talks about the tithe, and it says this, a tithe of everything. Say everything again.
Everything.
Good. It says a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, it all belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The tithe is holy to the Lord. When you understand the principle of the first, you realize that it's insulting to think that God only wants your money. He doesn't just want your money. He wants everything. He wants your heart. He wants the first of your energy. He wants the first of your day. He wants the first of your week, of your year, of your relationships, of your thoughts, of your words. He wants the first of everything. I love this verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor God with everything you own. And then it says this, give him the first, give him the best. Give him the first, give him the best. We honor God, and we make him first when we give him the first of everything, everything. And here's the final principle in this principle of the first. We must put God first. We do that by giving him the first of everything. But here's what I want you to know. This is the final piece, and it's so important, is this. The first has the power to bless the rest. Now, I didn't start here on purpose. Okay, I didn't start here on purpose because I don't want you to sign up to do this because of the blessing. But I do want you to know that there is a blessing when we align our lives with God's word and the principle of the first. I might say it this way, the first empowers the rest. What you do first sets everything else up. We see it in Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. So this verse is setting up this if-then principle. If you honor me with your first, then I will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. We see it again in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God, and then all the other things will take care of themselves. Listen, over and over in Scripture, God tells us, put me first and watch how I get involved in your life. Put me first and watch how I'll help you advance at work. Put me first and watch how I'll bring peace into your home. Put me first and watch how your marriage will flourish. Put me first. I'm just over and over. He says, put me first and I will get involved in all of the parts of your life. So now that you know the principle of the first, it's this. Again, I'll say it one more time. We got to put God first. We put him first by giving him the first of everything, but then there's this blessing that comes that the first has the power to bless all the rest of your life. Sound pretty good? So let's get practical. How do we do this? Now we're at the first of the year. Technically, we're halfway through the first month of the year, but we're still at the first, right? There's still room for adjustments. That's what I'm telling you. There's still room for assessment. There's still room to do this. So this is an opportunity. So what are we going to do here at the first of the year? So I have four ways for you to apply this today. We're going to kind of go big to small. And the first is this: give God the first of my year with prayer and fasting. Okay, prayer and fasting. This is why we're starting off our year. This is our first series of the year. This idea to pray first is that I'm asking you to assess your life and to consider committing with me and with our team that you would give God the first of your year with prayer and fasting. And I want you to know this. I'm not going to ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. In fact, I'm a little bit ahead of you because I knew this was coming. And so at the first of the year, Lisa and I both, we picked new Bible reading plans and we recommitted to spending time daily with Jesus and spending time in his word. And Lisa and I both, we committed to a season of fasting. And in a minute, I'm gonna teach you some different ways to fast. And I'll just point you, if you want to make this decision, Lisa and I use the YouVersion Bible app. And there's a bunch of devotions in there. But there's one that I'll just tell you about. It's by Lisa. I think her name's Turkhurst. It's always hard for me to say. And it's called this. It's called Made to Crave. It's a 21-day devotional about fasting, okay? And so I just wanted to give you that resource in case that helps you. Now, let me just tell you this, okay? Let me just tell you this. I don't like fasting, okay? Is that okay for me to tell you? I don't know. You're judging me, but you don't like it either. You don't. It's not fun. Is that okay for me to tell you? It's not like here's what I'm telling you. I'm talking to you today about grown-up things, right? About like mature. This is what mature believers do. Is mature believers do hard things, not just easy things. Is it okay that we talk about that stuff today? I don't like fasting. Do you know why? I like to eat. Anyone else? Does anyone else like to, there's a saying like some people eat to live, right? And some people live to eat, right? I live to eat. Y'all, I wake up thinking about lunch. Most days, most days, by the time I'm leaving my house to take the girls to school, I already know what I'm eating for lunch because it motivates me. I need to know. It sets the course of my day, okay? I have a motto, never waste a meal. That's why I don't eat salad. It's a waste, right? Never. Like, why would I waste a meal? I'd rather fast than waste a meal, okay? I have another motto. Always eat good food, right? Like, there's no reason. Life's too short to just eat bad food. It's too short. Okay, but remember I'm talking about fasting. Now I'm talking about food. Okay, I don't like fasting, okay? But I think it's important to start my year, and I don't know if you'll agree with this phrase or not, but I think it's true, by breaking my addiction to food, okay? For me, and probably for most of us, there's an addiction that's there. You find out when you begin to fast that often I'm eating not because I'm hungry, but because I'm bored. I'm eating because the TV's on. I'm eating because I can't sleep. I'm eating, right? But for whatever reason, and we find out it's an addiction. I'm just eating because I like to eat. I'm just eating. I'm not eating to provide energy. I'm just eating. So what fasting does is and I don't like it, but it makes you aware of how much you think about food. It makes you aware of how often you're going to that to provide comfort so that you feel better. This is why it's such a good thing to do. Fasting's not a diet, right? It's a spiritual practice that makes you aware of, and here's what happens, is that not just, it doesn't just make you aware of the addiction to food, but as you progress through it, it makes you aware of anything in your life that you're relying upon instead of God. That's what it does. It's not fun, but it's necessary. It's such a great practice for the Christian. And so today I want to invite you to a season of fasting and prayer. I want to invite you to join me. By the way, we see this example in Jesus. Often when I'm teaching a principle, I try to find it in Jesus' life to make sure that it lines up with the way that he lived his life. And it does. I'll show it to you. Jesus, you might know this, he started his ministry at 30 years old. And in Matthew chapter 3, his ministry is about to begin. And so he goes to John the Baptist to be baptized in water. And in Matthew chapter 4, he goes immediately into a season of prayer and fasting. He goes out into the wilderness. And just notice, this is before Jesus does any miracles, before he raises the dead, before he does any of the fun stuff, you know, the big stuff, the stuff that we love to read about Jesus. Before that, he started out by getting alone with his Father and fasting and praying. And watch this, Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, that's a long time, listen to the profoundness of this verse. He was hungry. There it is. When you fast, you get hungry. Did you know that? When you fast, you get hungry. And let me just tell you, this is kind of the point. You say no to the physical hunger and all the other senses, and you begin to awaken your spirit, because now it's not just your body that's getting hungry, now your spirit is getting hungry. And for that season of fasting, you find that your spirit begins to grow faster than your physical body. And that's a good thing. That's kind of the point. That's why we fast. Now, let me tell you, there's different types of fast. I'll just do them quickly. You can read about them more in the book. Different types of fast. You've got something that I would just call a complete fast. This means that you're not going to eat or drink other than water, or maybe a little bit of juice to keep your energy up. You're just going to. And let me just say this: if you feel like the Lord is leading you to do that, you should seek some medical supervision in that. Some of you might have some medical things going on that would prevent you from doing that. I'm not telling you to do it if it's going to kill you, okay? I'm not. I'm going to talk to your doctor, make sure it's safe. But I will say this, and it'll sound mean, but most of America could go 40 days without food and it'd be really good for them, okay? I'm sorry. I said it. I couldn't help it. Complete fast, though, you talk to your doctor, you make sure it's safe, and you commit. I'm not going to eat or I'm going to drink water. And here's the key. I'm going to replace those meal times by spending time with Jesus. That's the key. See, that otherwise it's just a diet. Otherwise, and that's a very unhealthy diet to stop eating. But this one, I'm going to replace that. I'm going to replace that time. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. Here's a second type of fast, is a selective fast. This is typically where you remove certain elements from your diet. So you look at your life, you assess, and you say, wow, I'm really addicted to chocolate. Wow, I'm really addicted to chips. Wow, I'm really addicted to coffee. Anyone? Oh, yeah. I felt the Holy Spirit with that one. I really did. And so you make a decision to remove that from your diet for a season. And here's the key. As you wake up and you start thinking, oh, I'm going for the coffee. And you go, wait. I'm giving it up for this season. And it's a reminder that I'm putting God first. And so instead of going to that coffee cup, you pause. You go, Lord, you're first in my life. Thank you. Help me today. Walk with me today. Help me make good decisions. Give me wisdom. Give me confidence. Put your love in my heart. Thank you, Lord. You move on. So that's a selective fast. Here's the other one, is a partial fast. Partial fast, sometimes this is called the Jewish fast. It's where you'll maybe fast from like sun up to sundown, or you'll fast breakfast and lunch, but you'll enjoy dinner with your family. That would be a partial fast. And then here's one that I really, really love, and I would love to encourage you in. And it's this, Chris Hodges, author of our book that we're giving away, I think he coined this term. I learned it from him. It's a soul fast. Okay, a soul fast. Soul fast means that if there's any area of your soul that you're feeding through, you know, social media or movies, some kind of entertainment, or maybe just the news, that you just say, you know what, I'm going to get away from the life as usual, and I'm going to cut those voices out of my life so I can hear God's voice louder in this season of my life. So I'm going to turn that off for a season. I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to listen to the Lord. Soul fast. Doesn't that just sound good to some of you? You're like, oh, I need that. I'm tired of hearing those voices. Turn them off. Did you know you can turn them off? They don't want you to know that. You can turn it off. You can just turn it off. It's amazing. So would you consider giving God the first of your year by prayer and fasting? Prayer and fasting. Here's the second one. So first is our year. Now I'm going to come down just a little bit. Number two, give God the first of my month through tithes and offerings. Okay. Now I know that Americans don't like being told what to do, especially when it comes to your money. And as a culture, we've become highly resistant to this idea of the tithe, which is why I want to help you with it right here at the first of the year. I actually got an email this week from someone who watches online, and they had some great questions about the tithe. And I hope they're watching today. So I want to be clear. I want to be clear about this, okay? I want to be clear. Here at Harvest, we believe in the tithe. We believe it because it's taught in the Bible. We believe it because it's in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it's taught by Jesus. Okay, it's everywhere. So we believe it. But I want you to know this. We're not legalistic about it. Here's what I want you to know. Okay, we're not checking your giving on Monday mornings, calculating, looking up the average salary for your occupation and going, oh, it looks like they gave 8%, not 10%. Guido, here's their address, right? We're not doing that. You need to know that. We're not legalistic about it. If you're giving 5%, I don't think God's going to send you to hell, okay? We're not legalistic about it. This is what I'm telling you. But we do believe the principle of the tithe. Now, let me tell you a secret about the tithe. Are you ready for it? Here's the secret. It's not actually about money. Did you know that? It's about your heart. It's not actually about, money's just the measurement. It's the easiest way to check, but tithe's not actually about the money. Tithe's actually about our hearts. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, I love how it says it. It says this, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first. Remember, we're talking about the first. The purpose of tithing, could it be any more clear? The purpose is to put God first. I want to tell you this. We believe at Harvest so much in the principle of the tithe that many years ago, I don't even know how many at this point, but many years ago, we made the decision that if the tithe worked for you and for me and for your family and for my family, then it probably would work for us as a church as well. I'll never forget the board meeting when we discussed this. And I'll tell you why I won't forget it is because I knew the Lord had been stirring my heart to make this decision, but I had already done the math, okay? In fact, I didn't know that Pastor Tyler was going to share his testimony. He did the math trying to figure out his Christmas, right? I did the math. I took the Harvest budget and I knew where we were and I looked at it and I said, if we give 10% away, can we still pay all of our obligations? And the answer mathematically was no. But I said to the board, I said, I feel like the Holy Spirit is prompting me to tithe as a church. And what that means for us is we said the first 10% every week, every month, every year, we're gonna give that away immediately. We just give it to missions immediately. That's what we do. That's how we as a church tithe. And I remember how scary it was because I knew mathematically that it wouldn't work. Have any of you felt that way about your own life, your own personal, your family, your tithe, right? This won't work. That's why I'm telling you this. Because I'm leading our church down a path that will lead us off a cliff. That's what I felt like. But we prayed about it and we made the decision. And the next month we began to tithe as a church. And I'm happy to tell you that the next month we had enough money. And the next month we had enough. And the next month we had enough. And can I tell you something? We're years down the road. We've never not had enough. In fact, year over year, we've continued to increase, which means, and this is the part I love, we've continued to increase how much we're giving away. In fact, last year we were the number one missions giving church in the Assemblies of God in the state of New Mexico. And we're not the biggest church. We're not the biggest. But I'm just telling you, I believe it's because of this principle of the first that we just said, you know what, God, it's up to you. It's your church. It's your building. It's your stuff. It's your people. It's your youth group. It's your kid. We trust you. That's what the purpose of the tithe is, to prove that God is first. It's been such a fun journey. Such a fun journey. I'm going to skip something. So give God the first of your year, fasting and prayer. Give God the first of your month by tithing. Here's number three. Give God the first of my week with consistent church attendance and Sabbath, okay? God did not say, go to church 1 hour a week. He did not say, go to church when it's convenient. He said in one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day. He's asking for a day, a Sabbath day, by keeping it holy. So I'll tell you this is much more than just going to church, but I do believe that it begins by going to church. I would encourage you this year to set a day aside for Sabbath. That includes rest, it includes worship, it includes gathering together with your faith family, spending time in the presence of God. And I know that, again, Americans don't like being told what to do, that we already talked about money, you don't like being told about your money, and now I'm really meddling because now I'm telling you how to spend your time. But here's the problem that I see in America today is too many Americans see Sunday as their day. I can't tell you how often I hear this. Pastor, I work like 700 hours a week and Sunday is my only day. It's my only, because Saturdays I'm at soccer tournaments for 17 hours. And so all I have is Sunday. Don't be mad, Pastor, because I want to sleep in on Sunday. It's my only day. No, it's not. You have 7 days every week, just like me. You get to decide what to do. You get to decide what things your kids are a part of. You get to decide. I'm telling you, you are more in control of your schedule than you probably think you are. And you get to decide. And I would encourage you, it'd be life-changing to commit a day, not just to going to church, but to Sabbathing. Like, turn that work email off. Don't respond to those texts. Go home after church and eat the best meal of your life, which means no salad, the best meal of your life. Take a long nap. I love Sunday naps. Take a long Sunday nap. Get up and go for a walk with your spouse and your kids and your dog. Please leave your cats at home. Don't do anything with cats on Sabbath, all right? Just rest and enjoy your day and be refreshed so you can go back on Monday. That's the Sabbath. That's the Sabbath. But the problem is that now, this is just culture. Culture has deemed church attendance as optional. Whenever you want to go, whatever you feel like, if it works, if it doesn't conflict with something else. I mean, in other words, it's not a priority. And all I'm asking you to do this, it's first, make Sabbath a priority. That's what I'm asking you. Make it, now let me say this. I'm not being legalistic, okay? I'm not. We're not tracking your attendance, right? I mean, we're not. You know, condemning you to hell if you miss a Sunday. Listen, if you're out of town, go out of town. If you got something to do, go do the thing. But my question is this: who's in first? Who is in first place in your life? And I promise you, one of the easiest ways to check your priority is through your Sabbath, through your commitment to the local church. We see this again in Jesus' example, Luke chapter 4. He went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, watch this, which was his custom. In other words, Jesus himself had a custom that he went on the Sabbath week after week after week after week. It was a custom for him. I don't know if you'll believe me or not, but it's true. Harvard did a study, okay? Because they were concerned because in America right now, 1 out of 2 marriages end in divorce, 50%, 1 out of 2. And Harvard became concerned about this. And they said, let's study this and let's figure out if we can help people so that divorce is not so rampant in America. So Harvard, study this. I keep saying Harvard because I want you to know this isn't a church study. This is a Harvard study in this. Here's what Harvard came back with. Harvard said you can reduce the rate of divorce to 1 out of 2, from 1 out of 2 to 1 out of 1,246. Those are much better odds. You want to know what Harvard said? Harvard said you'll do this by attending church, discussing the Bible, and praying together as a couple. That's what Harvard said. So if you don't believe me and you don't believe God's word, which you should, believe Harvard. That's what I'm telling you. And I've never said those words. I've never told you to trust Harvard this one time, okay? So give God the first of your year, first of your month, first of your week. Here's the last one. Number 4, give God the first of your day with the word, worship, and prayer. I know you're busy. Don't come tell me you're busy. I know you're busy. I get it. I'm not asking for all of your day. I'm asking for the first of your day. You might not have an hour, but could you give God 15 minutes? 15 minutes. I'll just tell you one of the things that I believe trips us up from this is that many of us, me included, my phone has become my alarm clock. How many of you, your phone's your alarm clock? Anyone? So it sits beside my bed. Here's the danger. The alarm clock goes off, which means I have to pick up my phone. Since the phone's in my hand, I might as well see if anyone texts me in the middle of the night. Why would they text me in the middle of the night? I don't know. I might as well check my email. I might as well check my social media. I might as well play that game that I like playing. That's pointless, but I like playing it, right? And 37 minutes later, I'm still on my phone, right? So this would be great, okay? Turn the alarm off, or better yet, go to Target, not Walmart, buy an analog alarm clock, put your phone in another room, the alarm will wake you up, and just say this: I'm not touching my phone until I've spent a few minutes with Jesus. Again, I'm not asking for your whole day, just the first of your day. Just give him the first of your day. Could you give God 15 minutes? If you could, let me give you a plan. 15 minutes. 5 minutes in the Word. 5 minutes in the Word. That don't take you very long. Sign up for a reading plan. It'll take you through. I mean, if 5 minutes, it could go like this. Read a psalm, read a proverb, read a chapter in the New Testament. Just 5 minutes in God's word. It won't take you very long. 5 minutes in worship. That just means I'm going to replace any other media that's coming into my heart. I'm going to spend 5 minutes, find a worship song, you know, that you just love and say, I'm going to spend 5 minutes. I'm going to walk through my house, or I'm going to sit in this chair. I'm going to worship. But that doesn't mean you have to sing, okay? Some of you, we don't want you singing. Your spouse doesn't want you singing. But it's worship. I'm setting my heart towards the Lord here at the first of the day. 5 minutes in his word, 5 minutes in worship. And here's the last one, 5 minutes in prayer. Now, to be fair, you should spend more than that. But I'm just asking for you to start your day. 15 minutes, 5 minutes in each of those categories, just spending time with the Lord. By the way, the Pray First book and the series, there's also an app I'll tell you about. It's called Pray First. You won't forget it. And it has some guided prayers. The next couple of weeks, I'm going to teach you some different ways to pray. And some of these prayers are in the app, and it's a guided prayer, and it'll lead you through it. Some of you are still using, someone asked me about it today, the Glorify app that we introduced last year. So keep, I'm not trying to get you to switch. Keep using it. I don't care how you do it. I just want you to spend a few minutes in prayer. Something happened this week. I got to tell you about it. Something happened this week. I'm sorry. I've gone a little long. Something happened this week. Why don't you stand with me? That'll help. Stand with me. We were on our way to school. I take Ava and Eden almost every day. Ava was stressing out a little bit. I said, "What's going on?" She said, I lost my watch. She has an iWatch. Someone gave me an iWatch. I didn't need it, so I gave it to Lisa. Lisa didn't like it, so she gave it to Ava. So I think it's ridiculous that my freshman has an iWatch, but she does. She said, I lost my iWatch. And I thought, I think I'm not very techy. I usually call Tyler when I have tech questions. But I thought, I think there's a way to use Find My and Find Her Watch and make it make a sound. So I go on, I'm driving. I shouldn't do it while I'm driving, but I was driving. And I said, "Ava, your watch is somewhere in the car. It's traveling with us," is what this says. She's like, "Oh," she's looking. And y'all, the amount of things my kids take to school, I mean, it's ridiculous. So she's searching. And then I found the button. It says, "Play a sound." And so I pushed it, and we started hearing, "Burr, burr, 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 burr," and it's real muffled. "Burr, burr, burr, burr." And she picks her bag up, and it's like, it's huge. She holds her bag to her ear. "Burr, burr, burr, burr. Dad, it's in here. It's got like 17 pockets." Unzips one, ear to the pocket. "No." Next pocket, ear to the pocket. "No." Next one, ear. "Burp, burp, burp. Dad, I think it's in this one." That's so much stuff in there. She's like socks flying around the truck. It's her basketball bag. You know, just stuff, just smelly stuff flying all around the truck, you know. And all of a sudden, just. "Burp, burp, burp, burp," you know. she had the watch. And I don't know. I know how the Lord speaks to you. I love sharing with you how God speaks to me. I just, in that moment, the Holy Spirit said, "That's what's happening this month. I'm just asking you to turn your ear to the voice of the Holy Spirit." And for some of you, you're gonna commit today, and tomorrow you're gonna get up and you're gonna say, "All right, 15 minutes. I'm not going to my phone." And you're gonna read some verses, and you're gonna worship for a minute, and you're gonna begin to pray. And in the recesses of your heart, here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna hear, "Burr, burr, burr, burr." It's gonna be so faint. You're like, "I think I heard something, but I'm not sure." And it's going to send you on a journey where on Tuesday, you're going to dig in a little more to God's word, and you're going to spend a few minutes in worship, and you might spend 6 minutes in prayer, not five. And you're going to tune your ear, and you're going to hear burr, 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 a little louder. And day after day after day, you're going to establish a habit. And week after week and month after month. And all of a sudden, here's what's going to happen, is you will begin to hear the voice of God so clearly in your life. That your natural reaction will be, "Oh man, there's something going on at work. Pray first. Oh man, there's something going on in my kids' lives. Pray first. Oh, there's something going on in my marriage. Pray first. Oh, I don't know how to pray for how to pay for Christmas. Pray first. You see what I'm saying? And it's going to become a natural reaction. It's going to become your first response, not your last resort. What would happen at Harvest if we prayed first? So here's what I want to do. Worship team has one song lined up, and I know, I'm sorry, I kept you a little later than normal. Tell me it doesn't matter. Yeah, I didn't think it did, because you love the Lord, right? You love the Lord. You'll still get out ahead of most churches. I promise. Lunch, you'll still get to lunch. Don't worry. Okay, don't worry. Why don't you do this? Bow your heads for just a minute. Close your eyes. As worship team, they're going to lead us in just a moment. Here's what I want to ask you. Will you ask the Holy Spirit to begin to help you to assess the priorities of your life? Assess your year, your month, your week, your day. And the prayer is simply this: Lord, as you show me, Holy Spirit, show us what's first. Show us what's really first. You can say what's first, but Holy Spirit, show us what's first. And we're committing that we really, really do want to put you first. And so you show us what's first so we can reprioritize things so that you really are the first of every single part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team, lead us in a song. I'll be back to lead you in a closing prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.